السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Beloved listeners, أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً بكم جميعاً. Welcome to each and every one of you. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. Today is the 3rd of January 2022. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله, beloved listeners. With the new year comes the obvious influx of resolutions and changes, and people wanting to move towards exercise and changing the eating habits. And subhanAllah, a lot of times people start off on this very, very high level, and then slowly as the year moves on, you find people dropping out and slowly reverting to the old habits. Now, we are obviously Muslims, we are mu'mineen, so the new year time is not our time when we are focusing on change. Our focus on change is something that is constant. It is something that has to be with istiqama and istimrar. And istiqama is the consistency, the slow consistency and the perseverance in change. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this change that one has to bring into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to this, that it doesn't have to be at high moments or just, you know, when it comes to the new year. In reality, a mu'min, a believer, has to be focused on changing and progressing and uplifting yourself, your nafs, until you get to a point where it is such a constant movement of you saying, I am going through an interaction, I have met somebody, or I have done something, or I've gone through something. How has this impacted my nafs? How has this changed who I am? How am I going to recalibrate the way I look at the world and the way I impact the world? So just to give you an example, subhanAllah, there are days when your heart is something that your heart has highs and lows. Sometimes you are so intensely in a relationship with somebody and you love that person, and then sometimes you move away from that and you just find yourself not interested in that person anymore. And then on the other hand of this, you have things that you are passionate about, and then you have things that you're suddenly so angry about and you hate those things. So we have interactions that are happening all the time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our heart between His hands, and because He has our hearts between His hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes and He turns that heart and He moves it around as He pleases. So subhanAllah, these kind of movements where you are either, whether it's emotional highs and lows, whether it is imani highs and lows, and I think this is something so important for us to focus on, in that we think that iman is something that is constant, that iman is something that you achieve it and then you have it and then you are a believer and that's it, and now your taqwa is there and that's it. But subhanAllah, the reality is Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to make two du'as that are very fascinating to me. And he would make the first du'a and he would say, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma musarrif al-qulub. Oh Allah, you are that being, you are that Allah who changes hearts. Now, in this du'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the words musarrif, and in another du'a, another du'a, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used the words مقلب القلوب. So both of them, تصريف and مقلب and مصرف, means to change, to move. But they have different, completely different understandings. But here, when we are saying, oh Allah, you are مصرف القلوب, Ya Allah, you are the one who makes the heart change in different directions. That means the heart is attached to different things. So subhanAllah, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying something and he's bearing testimony to something that is so important and so integral in our lives. In that, subhanAllah, he says, Allahumma مصرف القلوب. Ya Allah, you are the one who makes the heart attach or detach to different things. So, صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك, Ya Allah, make it such that our hearts are inclined and attached to your obedience. SubhanAllah, what a deep and beautiful dua. And this is making us understand something so, so important. It's highlighting to us that there are times when you will find yourself enjoying your ibadah. There are times when you will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without thinking. There are times, Allahu Akbar, that you will perform ibadah and you will get such joy in your salah. Yet there are the times that you can read your salah and you will just not feel anything. So in making this dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledges to us that our heart and our nafs, our soul, needs constant work. And subhanAllah, at this time, and everybody's deciding on diets, and everybody's deciding on gym routines, And everybody's moving towards that. Our focus has to be on the next dua that we have, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken and has directed us. He says, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha. Oh Allah, grant my nafs, grant my soul its piety. And subhanAllah, this really directs you to understand something. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places taqwa within a soul, that soul is able to achieve and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَزَكِّهَا Ya Allah, purify my soul. أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا You are the best who can give this purity to my soul. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us and He wants us to understand something. Allah has made the nafs, He has made the soul as a spoiled child who loves to throw tantrums. And subhanAllah, if you look at a child, as long as you don't want to give the child something, they want that thing. If you lose interest and allow them to have it, they lose interest immediately, subhanAllah. Now your nafs and your soul is very similar to this, in the sense that your soul always wants what it cannot have. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the seal of success to the people who dedicate their life to control their soul, yes, but to constantly work with the nafs and figure out how am I going to train my nafs so that this nafs can be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly, but secondly, I need to understand my own nafs. So every person is not the same and every person's nafs is not the same. Subhanallah, what I have gone through in my life and the things and the tarbiyah that I may have gone through, it's not the same as the next person. So you have to first and foremost understand your own nafs. Understand that your journey to finding out your nafs has to be constant. And subhanallah, when we speak about tazkiyatun nafs, it is about understanding that you are facing daily challenges within people, within work situations, within your home, with your workers, with your helpers, with your children, with your... So when you are accepting of this, when you realize that my soul is constantly being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly interacting, now what do I have to do? I have to understand this dua when Nabi Sallam said, وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّهَا First and foremost, Ya Allah, the only one who is able to purify my soul, the only one who is able to help me get past all my weaknesses and all my difficulties is You, Allah. أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا Ya Allah, You are the only guardian of my soul. You are the only guardian of my soul. You are the only one who is able to be the companion to my soul. So subhanAllah, beloved listeners, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made these du'as, he focused us on something that is so, so important. He focused us that our nafs is amaratun bisu. Our nafs is driven to move in a direction of how can I do exactly what I want. And now, let's just take a look at this holiday program, right? Subhanallah, we all had time over this holiday time. We had time to sleep, to rest, to do so many things. Some people took the time to be productive. Some people took the time to connect to their Quran. Some people took the time to reflect on their lives. Some people were in assistance to their family. But a majority of people decided that I am going to get the nearest couch that I can find and I want to sleep and I want to rest. And subhanAllah, oftentimes salah times goes like this. Sometimes you start reading a book and you lose track of your ibadah. You find that you hardly had any time to read Quran. You find that in assisting your family was something very difficult to do. And subhanAllah, this is because when you leave your nafs to do what it wants to do, it will do exactly as it pleases. So when we now look at this nafs and you have to ask yourself, make muhasabah and ask yourself. Muhasabah means reflect, bring yourself into account. Umar radiallahu anhu was very famous for doing this at night. He would have interactions with people. And at night he would take his finger and put his finger, he would tie a string around his finger and put it through the wax. And he would say, why did you say such and such a thing? Why did you respond in such and such a way? Why did you do that? And subhanAllah, by bringing himself into account, by taking himself into account, he has done something so important. He has showed us that as the Amirul Mu'mineen, even though he was the leader of the believers, he still looked at every interaction with people, and he looked at himself and took himself into account, and he actually, subhanAllah, asked himself over and over and over, why did you do something like this and why didn't you do it like this? And he would constantly look at himself, okay, yeah, I was too hard. Yeah, maybe I was too soft. I was too lenient. I need to maybe change my behavior here. And subhanAllah, when we think of tazkiyatun nafs, we constantly think about sitting and making dhikr. And yes, this is an imperative and the main part of purifying your nafs. But subhanAllah, it's first and foremost, it's making i'tiraf. It is accepting and understanding that your nafs is moving in this direction of wanting to be free and getting out of the prison of Iman. And the prison of Iman means that you are constantly pulling your nafs back and saying that you... So in the manner of ta'a, in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand this. You take your nafs and you pull your nafs back and you say to the nafs that it's time for salah now. You have to perform salah. You have to do this. But subhanAllah, when it comes to things like interactions with people, when it comes to things like your workers or your employees or your fellow your colleagues, what happens is, especially with your husband and your children, what happens is that you focus your tazkiyatun nafs on your ibadah, on your obedience to Allah, and you forget that the greatest form of ibadah is what? Is your actual obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demarcates to us, and He says that there are different types of nafs, there are different types of souls. They are the first type, which is... أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the first nafs is that nafs who is amaratun bisu, who loves to do exactly as he pleases. And only those people who Allah grants rahmah and his mercy, they are saved from this type. Allah protect us from being this type. The type that, you know, just does what you want, sleep when you want, party when you want, go out when you want, do what you want, say what you want, without thinking and out understanding that we are believers and there are ramifications for our behavior. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah explains to us that the nafsul lawwama, and this nafsul lawwama, I always think of it as when the child is a toddler and they're throwing tantrums, that is the nafsul ammara, you know, the one who does exactly what he wants and doesn't want anyone to tell you anything. Even if he wants something, even if it's to benefit him, he still shakes his head and says, I don't want it. And subhanAllah, then he cries if you don't give it to him. He doesn't want it, but he cries because you don't give it to him. Why? Because he wants to be free and he doesn't want rules. That is nafsul ammara. But nafsul lawwama, and I think most of us at this point, subhanAllah, what is nafsul lawwama? Is the nafs that is not living like the amara, is not doing exactly what he pleases, but he's lawwama, he is between the two, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about this nafs and he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Allah takes an oath by this nafs that is moving beyond, not constantly and completely disobeying Allah Ta'ala, and not in the perfect spot either. So if you think about our conditions, we are like this. We are this nafsul lawwama, where there are times when we are in a good space, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are times when we fall. Then we pick ourselves up again, and then we fall. And we pick ourselves up again, and then we fall. And that is nafsul lawwama, when you are constantly moving between making tawbah and making and sin, and making tawbah and sin. But subhanAllah, we and I'm sure as you listen to this, you're thinking, yes, that's exactly where I am. But we cannot be happy, and we cannot accept this point. We have to say to ourselves, how am I going to move? I am not at nafsul ammar, alhamdulillah. I am now here at nafsul lawwama. I'm sometimes performing salah, sometimes leaving out my salah. Sometimes I have qazas and I'm not fulfilling my qazas, I'm not completing them. Now you have to say, how can I get this nafs under control so that I can reach the third level of nafs, which is the focus and the maqsad and the objective of every believer, and that is an-nafsul mutma'inna. And this is the highest level of the nafs, right? Why is this the highest level of the nafs? It is when this nafs becomes mutma'inna, in, you are completely, completely, completely tranquil and calm, and you are constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what happens is, anything that happens, you accept that this is the command of Allah, this is the desire of Allah, this is the mashi'atullah. So you know what happens in your life is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So you reach that point where you have istislam, that you are so accepting and so happy of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done, and you perform ibadah simply because you know Allah wants it. You don't perform salah or you read Quran because it's a command of Allah. You do it because you want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. You are focused on saying, Ya Allah, I no longer am doing something just to obey you. I'm doing it because I want to obey you, but at the same time, I want to create every action to be just to bring your pleasure. I want to make you happy, Ya Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nafs al-mutma'inna in one of my favorite ayat in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when your ruh, when your soul is coming out of your body, and when your soul is coming out and you are at that point when you are coming out and you are going up to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a beautiful moment. The malaika are there, the malaika are taking out your soul with ease and softness. Allah, give us a moment like this. Allah, make it that our nafs are always mutma'in, tranquil and accepting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beloved listeners, as your soul is coming out and as your soul is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. Can you hear this word, مُطْمَئِنَّةِ? Oh, contented soul. And that is such a beautiful word, contented soul. إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَدَخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدَخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Allah says, O contented soul, return to your irji'i, return to your Lord. How are you returning to your Lord? You are happy and pleased with Him, and He is pleased with you. Allahu Akbar. So it's enough that Allah is happy with us. But Allah says, you also will be happy with Him. And Allah says, now you will enter amongst my beloved servants and you will enter into my Jannah. So this is when you pass away. And that is the focus and the maqsad, isn't it? For every one of us, our focus for this year is, how do I build such a connection? How do I build a connection in that I create a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I understand my nafs? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you have knowledge, your knowledge is supposed to do only one thing. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمِ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمِ. That if a person has knowledge, how do you have true knowledge? Is when you start to teach. That's when you learn this knowledge. But when you want to learn forbearance, when you want to perfect your soul, you have to always understand that your soul will be tested with people. Your soul will be tested. But what you have to focus on is, how do you build a close connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, Ya Allah, you know my weaknesses. And I think that's the most important thing, is making i'tiraf, is finding out and understanding and accepting that we all have weaknesses. Our souls are not the most pure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That those people who take the time to say, I have a problem with my anger, I need to learn how to control my anger, I have a problem that I say whatever it is I want to say, I don't have a filter, okay, I need to fix that, I need to change that. It doesn't matter what the world says. I have to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this pleading heart and ask Him, Ya Allah, Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa a'idhni min sharri nafsi. Oh Allah, inspire my soul, inspire me to guidance. Allah, grant me this kind of guidance and what you do, and assist me, a'inni, wa'a'idhni, sorry, and protect me from the evil of my soul. This is making i'tiraf. It is saying, Ya Allah, in recognition to you, I say, I have these weaknesses. And subhanAllah, listeners, a beautiful way to build this up, a beautiful way to build this relationship with a beautiful way to develop your tazkiyah to nafs, the purification of your soul, is making a list. Making a list of interactions. And look at the things that you say sometimes. Look at the things that you do sometimes. We start off with the principles of your ta'ah. Start off with your salah. Start off with different things. And then ask yourself, how can I change these difficulties that I face, and how can I build my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inshallah, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be focusing on more about the soul, inshallah.
Little bare feet on the icy wet ground, a shiver at his lips, mud on his clothes. When he is cold, the hunger is worse, the nights are longer, and the pain is more severe. What if this was your child? The Al Imdad Foundation's Global Winter Appeal allows you to make a difference for refugees, IDPs, and struggling communities in 21 countries globally. Sponsor a winter pack today for just 600 Rand. Donate online at alimdad.com or call 0861 786 243.
The Indonesia Muslim Association is embarking on a new project to build classrooms in and around the Indonesia, El Dorado Park and surrounding areas. The reason for building these classrooms is that local schools are no longer allowing the usage of their premises and classrooms. We require the community's assistance in completing this project. Contribute and be a part of spreading knowledge and invest in your akhirah. Contact the LMA at 011-854-3082.
Visit Shama Spice on Nirvana Drive, Extension 13 in Lanesha for all your fresh, cleaned and tasty Indian spices at affordable prices. Snowflake cake flour, pan oil, Bimri rice, Viti rice, Lal Killa rice. Call us now on 011-852-2768. Mola.
To us, stay in touch. Radio Islam International on all your favorite social networking sites.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, listeners. Alhamdulillah, we have been speaking about the nafs and tazkiyatun nafs. Alhamdulillah, we've been focusing on these beautiful du'as. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. And we also focused on Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. And we've looked at the different ways to make tazkiyatun nafs, and we focused on the different levels of tazkiyatun nafs and the way the nafs is. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us today. Mulana Vanka is online, and inshallah he's going to take us a little deeper into this topic. Alhamdulillah. Mawlana, jazakallah khair for joining us this morning.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan for the opportunity.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Inshallah, we are going to begin, inshallah. Mawlana, can you explain to us first and foremost, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا, what is the difference between أَفْلَحَ and خَابَ?
أوكي، بارك الله فيكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Respected listeners, the purification of the soul, it's so important. It's something which is fundamental, and as believers, as mortals, we tend to focus on, you know, the external and not the internal. And before we explain what is the difference between aflaha and khaba, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his statements, this is a reference for guidance and navigation, you know, for each and every one of us. And, you know, as long as we live in this world, our lives are governed by, you know, by the teachings of the Nabi of Allah, by Quran Kareem. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily in the body there is a piece of flesh. Ala inna fil jasadi lamudgha idha saluhat saluha al jasadu kullu wa idha fasadat fasada al jasadu kullu ala wa hiya al qalb ala wa hiya al qalb. That in the body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is upright, the entire body will be upright. If that piece of flesh is contaminated, then the entire body would be contaminated. You know, it's the thoughts that cross the heart that manifest via the organs. So a person who is successful, and this word aflaha is used in various different places in Quran. In the 18 juz of Quran, in the opening verses in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed the believers are successful. Indeed, the believers are successful. So that person, when we look at tazkiyatun nafs, the purification of the soul, in many various different places of Quran, and when we open the ahadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wealth of knowledge that is contained within the ahadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the importance of the purification of the soul. So, you know, one of the ways that we learn from the ahadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he paid a lot of attention to that. So you would find that many a times there were sahaba that used to come to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to pose the very same question, but Nabi alayhi salam used to give different answers. Because Nabi alayhi salam understood what was the temperament in that particular sahabi. So Nabi alayhi salam, for example, one sahabi came, Nabi alayhi salam said, La taghdab, that do not get angry, do not get angry. So it all boils down, it goes down to the heart. You know, this is where a person, you know, the focus is, you know, a person focuses on the heart. We, like I mentioned in the beginning, is that we tend to focus on the external, and very rarely, you know, do we focus on the internal.
Subhanallah, so true. So, Mulana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, right? He says, success is to the one who purifies his soul. So, what does the success mean, entail? Does success mean happiness? What does success mean to us as mu'minin?
So, success, in this, when we look at this particular verse of Quran, تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful indeed is that person who purifies himself. You know, this in itself will protect a person from various spiritual maladies. This will protect a person from various wrongs. So when we look at success, ultimate success is success in Akhirah. You know, success in this world is limited. Ultimate success is the success of Akhirah. Because if, like we would say, it would get, you know, you do this, it would get you in deep waters. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving us that prescription, is giving us that, you know, that the guidance that you need to do this, focus on the heart, you know, you need to do this, do that, and by virtue of that, you will be ultimately successful, you know, in Akhirah.
Subhanallah, so true. One important thing that I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights to us constantly is that the word that, you know, tazakka and zakka, is it the ability to say that it's not something that comes naturally. You know, not everybody is going to be at a point of iman, though it takes a lot of work. So what are the elements that we're supposed to be working on when we speak about tazkiyatun nafs?
Yes, when we look at this purification of the soul, it's something which is not inherent in every believer. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created within the capacity of a believer to purify himself, you know, spiritually. But this is, you know, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the person the ability to navigate his life and to do as, you know, to run his life. sits upon us to, you know, to walk down this road of the purification, you know, of the soul. So a person is not born with that, but Allah Ta'ala grants the person that inherent quality of the purification of the soul. You know, there's a subtle difference, you know, between the both. You know, otherwise every person would have been born in an angel, and none of us are angels. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you know, we are faced with temptation. Like, for example, there was that one boy who came to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, permit me to commit zina. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his blessed hand and he placed it on the chest of this boy, and he taught him the dua, and he recited the dua. Allahumma tahhir qalba waghfir zamba wahassin farja. That, oh Allah, forgive the sins of this boy, purify the heart of this boy, and protect the chastity of this boy. So it all boils down to the heart. It all goes to the heart. When a person makes that dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you know, one is, when Allah ta'ala, what does he mention in Quran? Ala bi dhikri Allah tatma'innul qulub. That it is through the remembrance of Allah that a person would find the contentment of the heart. So the focus, when you're making the dhikr of Allah, it's not merely uttering, you know, the dhikr and the name of Allah, or reciting these wada'if and these du'as, but rather the focus is the heart. The focus is the heart, where you are removing everything else other than Allah from the heart, and you're putting Allah in the heart.
Subhanallah, so important. And subhanallah, you know, Mulana is mentioning this dua that you mentioned now, and that, it, I think, is so amazing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his duas, he showed us how the first way for tazkiyatun nafs is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly to guide us to that change. And subhanallah, Mulana, in the lives of the sahaba, have you found any kind of examples where you see how the sahaba themselves constantly strive for this improvement?
Yes, when we study the lives of Sahaba, you know, their lives are a reference for navigation and guidance till the day of Qiyamah. This particular dua that was making, that we alluded to, that Nabi alayhi salam recited the dua for that young boy. If somebody is reading it themselves, this would be the words, Allahumma tahhir qalbi waghfir dhambi wahassin faraji. Allahumma tahhir qalbi waghfir dhambi wahassin faraji. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made such an effort, you know, on his companions. I will just share with you one example, that when you are faced with a situation, how you react, you know, to that particular situation, you know, would determine, you know, the proximity. We generally judge a person. You would generally judge a person, and this is our weakness, you know, based on the external. But it was the internal that Sahaba had focused upon. That Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it's a famous incident. On one occasion, he had the enemy pinned on the ground, and you know, he was at the mercy of Ali bin Abi Talib. And this enemy spat in the face of Ali bin Abi Talib. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then left this man. This man looks at Ali bin Abi Talib. He said, "You had me at your mercy. You could have done what you want." He says, no. When I had you down initially, I had you down for the pleasure of Allah. When you spat on my face, then my ego got the better of me. If I had reacted at that time, it would have been as a result of the provocation of my ego. So I decided to leave you. So when we look at, you know, it's anger, whether it's pride, arrogance, and all these different spiritual maladies, amrad, what we refer to in Arabic, and you know, the scholars have classified these spiritual maladies into different categories. Like, for example, you know, we look at pride and arrogance. The scholars and the ulama have referred to this as umul amrad, you know, as the mother of all sicknesses. We're not speaking about physical sicknesses. Nabi alayhi salam told Anas, "Ya Anas, in istata'ata an tumsi wa tusbih wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin min al-muslimin faf'al." Oh Anas, if you could do me a favor, every morning, every evening, monitor your heart, look at your heart. And if you can convince yourself, and if you can assure yourself that my heart has not harbored malice against any person in this world, oh Anas, you have revived one of my greatest teachings. If you do that, you love me, you would be in Jannah. So the focus again is the heart. The focus is the heart. focusing on the spiritual self. And it's something which is so important. You know, many a times we tend to, be very negligent when it comes to this particular aspect. We pay absolutely no heed, to it. Leave the rest of society, not on a macro level, on a micro level. How often don't we see a person is outwardly dressed in the Islamic garb, which is good. He's got the beard, he's got the topi on the head, dressed in the Islamic garb. But, the vulgarity and how you speak to your servants and how you speak to the workers or the helper that is working for you at home, it's very, very sad. So, we need to find a balance between the internal and the, as well as the external.
SubhanAllah, that's so true. And I think, Mulana, the thing that fascinates me a lot is that when we speak about these maladies and we speak about all these difficulties, you find, like as Mulana was saying, that each Sahabi in the Wisdom was very specific to their case. It's not general. Tazkiyatun Nafs, for me, will be a different thing compared to somebody else, depending on your life's journey and what you have gone through. But Mulana, can you guide us? For example, if we are looking at these sicknesses and we are saying, such a beautiful hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that he has to take this rancor out of your heart. And I know sometimes, you have relationships that turn sour, you have problems with your spouse, maybe with your children. It's very difficult sometimes to take that nifrat, that hate out of your heart. What are some methods that we can do to work on our tazkiyah, where we can bring our heart to such a point where it's so calm and it doesn't have any difficulty and hard feelings for people?
Okay, number one, we need to firstly identify that there is a problem. Like a person who's a drug addict, you can send him to all the rehabs in the world, but until and unless he does not want to reform his life, we are fighting a losing battle. Number one is acknowledgement. Every one of us have weaknesses, spiritual maladies, and it's a reality. Allah has created us as sinners. We acknowledge we are sinners. Of course, we don't intentionally commit sin, but, we are sinners end of the day. So some people are tested with anger. Some of them have a very loose tongue, sometimes with your children, at times with the spouse, at times with those that are helping you and assisting you in your business, or, road rage. Somebody's driving on the road and a man loses himself. So number one is we need to identify that there is a problem. I have a certain weakness or I have weaknesses in me. That's number one. Number two, it is of paramount importance that we search and we look for a spiritual guide. There's some point of reference. Somebody who could, like somebody is, you're driving a car and you find that there is a warning light that comes on. You need to get somebody to interpret what is that light for. So you will go to the mechanic and he will say that, the problem with the car is, you need to change the brake fluid or the tires need to be changed or the brake system, is not functioning to its optimum. So similarly, we need to go to the spiritual masters, those who have devoted their lives to Allah, those who have devoted their lives to the Sharia. And, you need to place our hands in their hands where we need to pledge our allegiance, to a pious person. Of course, this is a separate topic on its own, but it's important that we have some individual, that gives us some guidance, whether it's your local imam or there's some pious person, somebody that you can, that you can relate to. But I think there again, I just thought I would make mention when it comes to, pious people, we should not overstep the bounds where you would find that some people, they start respecting, pious people more than they would respect their own parents. It has to be within the limits of Sharia. It has to be within the limits of Sharia where you respect the person, but you don't worship that particular individual. That person is there just to guide us, spiritually, both internally and externally.
SubhanAllah, so true, Mulana, because we have to always find that, be ummat al-wasata, we're exceeding the bounds in any way. But Mulana, just before I look, Jazakallah khair for joining us, really enjoying listening to this, and I'm sure everybody out there who's making all their plans for this year, I think one of the main things will be to say, how can I now focus myself in my self-development, my tazkiyah? And one important question I would like to ask Mulana is, what is the difference between muhasaba and tazkiyah? Is it, one is, bringing yourself into account, but what's the difference Islamically?
Yes, I think this is important. Muhasaba, where a person starts taking accountability of oneself. Mm-hmm. You start taking accountability. What we refer to as muraqaba, where a person reflects, you contemplate, and you look at the condition of your life. And this should be a daily. We should take out a few minutes. you know, every day of our lives before you retire to bed or when you get up in the early part of the morning, and let my today be better than yesterday, let my tomorrow be better than today. If a person made a mistake, we need to take accountability, you know, of ourselves. You know, we need to look at, you know, we need to check and balances. Like a person is running a business, you know, he would, you know, end of the day, he would see, okay, these are the profits, these are the expenses, what came in, what went out, the input, the output. We understand it in terms of dunya. But when we look at our spiritual selves, this is something which is more important, where we need to start taking accountability. And ultimately, we need to realize that ala yadhunnu ulaika annahum mab'uthun biyawmin 'azim yawma yaqumu an-nasu li rabbil 'alamin. That don't people realize that there's something like accountability in the court of the Almighty Allah. You know, one day we all will stand up before the Almighty Allah and we will be held accountable, you know, for what we had done, you know, in this world. So what is the purification of the soul? That's something which we spoke about. But to, you know, to hold oneself accountable for the wrongs that a person has done. So for example, you know, just to cite a simple example, if a person, you know, you start holding yourself responsible, if a person has got an evil habit, you should make this intention that, oh Allah, every time I commit that particular wrong, we should not intentionally, a believer never intentionally does wrong. But if you fall into the trap of the devil, you fall into the trap of shaitan, you say, oh Allah, every time I do that, I will take an X amount of money. Every time I put that cigarette into my mouth, or I pop that pill, or I do this wrong, or I do that wrong, I will take 100 rands, I will give it in sadaqah. I will give it in charity. You might give it once, you might give it twice, but now it's starting to dent and dent your pocket. So, you know, by virtue of that, inshallah, we would avert and we would stay away from, you know, these spiritual maladies and these spiritual wrongs. So to, you know, to take accountability of one's actions, this is something which is also, you know, important and every day of our lives, either in the morning before we, when we get up in the morning, at the time of the Hajjud, after Salatul Fajr, you know, these are two times. Between Fajr and sunrise and between Asr and sunset, or before we retire to bed, you know, we should, you know, focus on the heart and look at our lives. Have I done anything good today? Make shukr to the Almighty Allah. If you have done anything wrong, then we ask Allah for forgiveness. And, you know, coupled with that, I always say this, that make charity a common practice. Make charity a common practice in our lives. This is something that would avert and divert calamities externally, but similarly, give charity with this intention that Allah purify us internally as well.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This brings to mind a saying from the wisdom of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. حَقٌ عَلَى الْعَاقِلِ أَلَّا يَغْفِلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعِ سَاعَةٍ سَاعَةٌ يُنَاجِي فِيهَا رَبَّهُ وَسَاعَةٌ يُحَاسِبُ فِيهَا نَفْسَهُ وَسَاعَةٌ يَخْلُو فِيهَا مَعَ إِخْوَانِهِ الَّذِينَ يُخْبِرُونَهُ بِعُيُوبِهِ وَيُصَدِّقُونَهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Subhanallah. You know, that is a time that we should be taking to sit down and looking at ourselves, being very honest with ourselves, and also asking the people around us, you know, how we can develop ourselves. Mawlana, jazakallah khairan for your time today. It was really, really appreciated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a year, inshallah, that is full of tazkiyah, inshallah, and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we look at New Year's resolutions. Of course, our New Year is Muharram, but nonetheless, we've entered into in January. You know, let's make some resolutions that we will, because Ramadan is not far away. And, you know, that is, inshallah, let us make some resolutions in our lives. Then, inshallah, by the time we reach Ramadan, we will remove all these spiritual maladies. And we will start focusing on our spiritual selves, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Jazakumullah alfa khair, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Alhamdulillah, listeners, that was Alhamdulillah, Mulana Vanka had joined us today, and we've been speaking about the tazkiyatun nafs. And let's look at this statement of the wisdoms of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And inshallah, I hope it motivates every one of you to focus on two things, muhasabatun nafs and tazkiyatun nafs. Take yourself into account, be very honest with yourself, look into the mirror and ask yourself, where have I been with my spirituality? You know yourself better than anyone else. And you know that your salah is something that other people can't judge. Your recitation of the Quran, other people don't know where you are. You can show the world a face that is, you know, I'm doing my stuff. I'm on par with my ibadah. But subhanAllah, you have to be very honest with yourself and you have to divide your muhasabah. Take yourself into account for your ibadah, take yourself into account of your interactions with people, your akhlaq, your mu'asharat, when you're dealing with people, your mu'amalat, your business transactions. Write it down. I am like this in this situation. I am like that. I don't like this about myself. I would like to change this. And then start making dua. Focus your dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha. Oh Allah, you give my nafs its taqwa. You change where I am. And don't sit at one level. I think that's the most important thing. To focus yourself in saying that I need to develop my iman to a level and I need to develop my character to a level that I am happy with, that I know that I'm not sitting in one space for the last 10 years or 20 years. And especially when it comes to interactions with people, subhanAllah, because when we interact with people, we tend to, you know, because we know that person is like that, we constantly interact with the person in the same manner and we're constantly fighting and backbiting or we're constantly, you know, getting angry with that person. But we don't realize that even that interaction is something that we have to progress. And when we speak about removing this feeling of any kind of hatred in our heart, it's something very active. You need to write down, you need to make lists, you need to make dua, make goals. Say, Ya Allah, these are the bad qualities, these are the difficult situations I have, these are the friendships that I may have lost or I don't have anymore in my life. This is my situation, my Quran. And now I focus on saying, Ya Allah, I need to develop these things so that inshallah, inshallah, this doesn't affect my ibadah. Jazakallah khair, listeners, for joining us today. Inshallah, I leave you with the saying of Hassan radiallahu anhu, إن العبد لا يزال بخير ما كان له واعظ من نفسه وكانت المحاسبة همته. Most certainly, a servant will continue being blessed and having good in his life so long as he has somebody who is advising him about his nafs. And وكانت المحاسبة همته, and taking himself into accountability is his major, major worry. He will have blessings and benefit in his life. Jazakallah khair for joining me today. I'm Mu'allima Shakira Hanta. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.